nuestros cursos intensivos residenciales, ahora puedes conseguirlo. 5 días de clases conviviendo con tus profesores Vaughan. Cursos intensivos residenciales de Vaughan. Más información en el 91-133-5833 o en grupovaughan.com.
¿Le traigo la carta en español?
No es necesario, gracias. For my starter, I'll have tomato soup. And for my main course, the roast beef with mashed potatoes and peas. And for dessert, I'll have the apple tart. Thank you.
Oh, wow, your English is amazing. Where are you from?
Me? I'm from Vaughan Town.
Ven a Vaughan Town, el lugar donde vivirás una experiencia única que equivale a 500 horas de clase y mejorarás tu nivel de inglés. Atrévete a vivir en inglés y verás la diferencia. Infórmate en el 91-133-5833.
Everybody, welcome to the Drive Time Show. It is Tuesday. It is the second day of the week, and I thank you for tuning in, for deciding to invest a little time with us today on this Tuesday afternoon.
Hi, Kyle.
Hi, how are you? How you doing, everybody? We got a nice show today. We got a very nice program. Today we're going to talk about one of the greatest books of all time, one of the most famous books of all time that was published on this day in history. No, I'm not talking about my book, The Verb Circus. No, no, otro libro. And aún más famoso, even more famous, of course. I'm talking about Moby Dick. Moby Dick was published on this day in 1851, right? Herman Melville. And we'll talk a little bit about that book and its impact and the life of Herman Melville. Also, it seems I'm always talking about space exploration, but the Apollo 12 lifted off. We would lift off, to take off, to lift off. Right? With an airplane, we usually say to take off, but a lift off also. And with space shuttle, they say lift off. We have lift off, right? And they take off, they lift off. So the Apollo 12 lifted off on this day in 1969. Of course, it was the shuttle that would take the second manned mission to the surface of the moon. It was launched from Cape Canaveral, Florida. And anyway, oh, also, Michael Jackson. He got married on this day. Michael Jackson married Debbie Rowe. Debbie Rowe. Remember her? Tina says, no, I have no idea who you're talking about. And I think Debbie Rowe was his, she was like an office assistant. She was an assistant, actually, she was an assistant to Michael Jackson's dermatologist. So evidently someone he saw a lot of, if you know Michael Jackson. They decided to get married and have kids, and anyway, we'll talk a little bit about that, and that'll lead us into our music section. We're going to talk about Beat It, which is like, Lárgate de aquí. Get out of here. Beat it. Just beat it. Just beat it. Beat it. Ooh. Right? Yeah, so we'll talk a bit about that song. And also, we will, my gosh, we have lots to cover, lots to talk about on the Drive Time Show today. We have strange news, we have facts, and so much more. My name is Kyle Miller, and welcome to Drive Time. I'll attack it.
Welcome to Drive Time with Kyle Miller.
everybody. All right, everybody, welcome to the Drive Time Show. Thanks for tuning in. We got a nice one today. We got a nice show. Also, tomorrow we're going to have a nice telephone interview tomorrow to air later in the week. We have some stuff going on. We have some nice things developing here at Vaughn Radio. A few little changes and a few, I think, improvements to the radio. And it's always nice. It's always important to make adjustments, right?
Are you ready?
Claro que sí. Of course I'm ready. Are you ready? Yeah. Anyway, how about the Twitter translation? Are you ready for that? All right, let's go.
Twitter translation.
All right, everybody, it's time for the Twitter translation. Twitter translation. It's time for the Twitter translation. Yeah, that's right. The Twitter translation. I'm going to give you a sentence in Spanish. Yo en español. Y tú en inglés, right? So you can write in. Tell me how to say it in English if you want to participate. Tino, how can they find me on Twitter?
Tuiteanos. Arroba IM Quilemillar. O sea, I'm Kyle Miller.
Tuiteanos. That's right. I'm Kyle Miller. ¿Cómo se dice en inglés? No perdamos contacto con la realidad. Oye, no perdamos contacto con la realidad.
Oh.
How would you say that in English? Eh? How would you say it in English? Tell me. Let me know. Write in on Twitter. We'll talk about it. Oh my gosh, we have about 20 or 30 people already. 20, 30, oh boy. Yeah. ¿Cómo se dice en inglés? No perdamos contacto con la realidad. Now, one of the most popular things that we do here on Vaughn Radio is translation sentences. You're in the car, you're at home, you're in the office, and people say, ooh, me gusta. I like it. I like that. Yeah, I like translating those sentences. So why don't we try a few of those now as we step into the warm-up gym.
The warm-up gym.
Mm-hmm. The warm-up gym. That's right. I'm going to give you a few sentences, and you can translate them into English, all right? Yo en español. I'll say it in Spanish, and you can tell me the equivalent in English, all right? All right? Okay, good. Good, all right. Okay, all right. I'm glad. All right. Okay, number one. Casi tengo miedo de decírselo. A ella, ¿vale? I'm almost afraid to tell her. Casi. Casi. I'm almost afraid to tell her.
Miedo.
Yeah. To tell her, we say to tell her. To tell her. To tell her. Not to tell her, but we link it, right? I'm almost afraid to tell her. ¿Sabes cuánto ha costado este curso? Do you know how much this course cost? Do you know? ¿Sabes? Do you know how much this course cost? Now, every day it costs. Yesterday it cost. Lately it has cost, right? Cost, cost, cost. Do you know how much this course cost? Right? He tenido que hacer sacrificios. I've had to make sacrifices. Sacrificios. I've had to make sacrifices. La vida no es un lecho de rosas. La vida no es un lecho de rosas, eh? No. Life is not a bed of roses. It's not a bed of roses, Tino. Life is not a bed of roses. Number five. Tienes que luchar por todo lo que consigues. You have to fight for everything you get. Tienes que luchar. Right? You have to fight for... You gotta fight for your right. No, you have to fight for everything you get. Right? Por todo lo que consigues, you have to fight for everything you get. Nunca llegarás a ninguna parte con esa actitud. You'll never get anywhere with that attitude. You'll never get anywhere with that attitude. Hey, let's get more difficult, right? A little bit more challenging?
A por ello.
Okay, all right. A por ello. Well, go for it. Go for it, right? Quiero el inglés como tú lo hablas. I want English like you speak it. Right? I want English like you speak it. Como tú lo hablas.
Number 7.
Nos hubiera ayudado si le hubieras tratado bien.
Ooh.
He would have helped us if you had treated him well. Tratado, si le hubieras tratado bien. He would have helped us if you had treated him well. If you had treated him well. ¿Cómo te sentirías tú si te dijeran eso? ¿Cómo te sentirías tú? ¿Eh? How would you feel? How? Como los indios, ¿no? How? How would you feel if they told you that? How would you feel if they told you that? Tengo que coger un vuelo mañana. I have to catch a flight tomorrow. I have to catch a plane tomorrow. Claro. Catch a plane, catch a flight. I have to catch a plane tomorrow. I have to catch a flight tomorrow. Odio volar. I hate flying. Yeah. I don't know. I don't know what else to tell you. I hate flying. Let's try another one. A little bit more difficult. Una economía produce bienes y servicios. An economy produces goods and services. It's true. Goods and services. Bienes y servicios. Goods and services. And here we can also think about the difference between a client and a customer, right? Remember, a customer buys a product, a client buys a service. And in Spanish, you say cliente, para los dos, right? Cliente. But we say client is someone who buys a service. And a provider, by the way, provider provides a service. Like, who's your internet provider? My internet provider provides my internet services. So I am a client of theirs. And then a supplier supplies tangible things. A supplier supplies products. And a supplier supplies products to customers. So there you have the difference between supplier and provider and the difference between customer and client. Interesting, right? So here we go. Si hubiera habido un excedente de trigo, lo habríamos exportado. If there had been a surplus of trigo, ¿cómo es? Wheat. If there had been a surplus of wheat, we would have exported it. But would have almost always gets contracted to would have. We would have. If there had been a surplus of wheat, we would have exported it. We would have exported it. Notice how I pronounce that. We would have exported it. We would have exported it. We would have exported it. If there had been a surplus of wheat, we would have exported it. I used to live in a city in Western Canada called Brandon. Brandon, Manitoba, which was known as the Wheat City. Because it's in the... Now, Manitoba is on the Well, I say the west of Canada, but if you look at the map, you might consider it more in the central third of the country. It's in the prairie provinces, just to the west of the province of Ontario, Manitoba. And not much really goes on in Manitoba. It's a quiet place. The capital city is a place called Winnipeg. It's really the only well-known city, but probably the second biggest place in Manitoba. I'm not an expert in Manitoba, but I think probably the second biggest community is Brandon, where I lived for a little while. And it was known as the Wheat City because there they had a lot of fields and they grew wheat, but they also grew barley, cebada, right? Barley and corn and a lot of different things in the prairies, which are kind of like the bread basket. I've said this before, but it's kind of like the flatlands, the flat part of Canada, the prairie provinces. Anyway, hey, why don't we go ahead and have a look at some vocabulary today? I want to talk about buildings and dwellings, like edificios, buildings and dwellings, like places where you can live. We have shows every day, people. We have a lot of shows. So we do a lot of different topics. If we do focused vocabulary, then there's time for everything, right? How many shows have we done, Tino? 1,200. Almost, eh? Almost. Almost 1,200. Or as we would often say, 1,200. 1,200. We could say 1,200. Or with numbers like this, we often say 1,200. So we've had time for a lot of different... we have a lot of, you know, opportunity for different vocabulary topics, right? Okay. But we're going to talk about buildings here. We have an amphitheater. Amphiteatro. Amphiteatro, folks. That's my word of the day, right? Vocabulary word of the day for Kyle, right? There you go. Anfiteatro.
Chicos, eso es una nueva palabra.
It is. It is indeed. Amphitheater in English. And then we have apartamento. Apartamento. Apartment. Now, there's also important cultural differences here too, right? Because we have un piso. Tengo un piso ahí en, you know, in whatever. On a certain street in a certain area, we would say a flat. Or an American might say an apartment, a Brit might say a flat. But when I see a flat, I consider one thing that has one floor, a piso with one floor, right? So the typical ones you have in Spain is what they call a flat. An apartment, it may have multiple levels, it may not, but an apartment. And then we have un bar, okay, a bar. Un granero, a barn. Manicomio, that's a good word, isn't it, Tino? Manicomio, this is a mental asylum. A mental asylum, ooh. But yeah, granero is a barn. Cuartel, militar. Barracks. Have you ever been in barracks, Tino? Yeah, I've been there too. We used to go and, you know, traveling when we were playing sports in Canada. Sometimes we would stay in the barracks playing sports. You know, you're going down to and there was a military base and we would get offered cheap accommodation in the military base. The barracks. B-A-R-R-A-C-K-S. Barracks. Pension. Not pension. We could say a boarding house. So you pay, you could say, oh, we're paying for room and board. Very often when you go somewhere and you pay for room and board, you're maybe staying longer than a night or two. You're staying for a longer period. Room and board. So I guess board would mean you get meals, I suppose. All right, but so then you have un hostal. Which Really, un hostal is kind of like a hotel, really, because in English, when we say a hostel, it's more like an albergue, right? Where when I was younger, I used to backpack around, and I traveled around Europe with my backpack, with my mochila. And I visited a lot of countries. I visited about 45 countries traveling with my backpack and staying in hostels. So these are these places where sometimes you'd have, you know, you might have 20 people in the same room, you know, or, well, not 20, but maybe 6 or 8 people. Maybe 20. Could be. Cheap accommodation. Un bunker, a bunker. B-U-N-K-E-R. And they have these. Even in Canada, there are some bunkers. Right? There are some bunkers in Canada and in certain buildings from a certain era when people were concerned about bombings and so on. Una cabaña, cabin. I love a good cabin. I love staying in cabins. It's nice. And how about el casino? Casino, same word, the casino. So you just take the word casino and pronounce it like a giri, and then you have perfect English, right? Casino. We're going down to the casino, right? But yeah, my uncle lives in Ottawa, which, by the way, is the capital of Canada. And when he moved into his most recent house, it was a house he used to live in. He found a bunker in his basement. You see, Ottawa being the capital city in the 1950s, I guess, and in the 60s as well, there were concerns about war. They thought, you know, if someone is going to attack Canada, they might try to take out the capital. So a lot of houses built in the 1950s and 60s in Canada, in Ottawa, included bunkers, right? A bomb shelter, right? So my uncle had this bomb shelter. He found in his basement, there was a wall that was like a very obviously a temporary wall. And so he tapped along the wall and said, okay, this is hollow. There's something here. We can probably, there must be something behind here. So he removed the paneling, the material on this side of the wall, and he found that there was a bunker. There was a door, but the door was closed. The door was closed. And we were coming to visit with my brother, my father, and my mother and father and my brother and I. We were going to visit, and I was probably 10 years old. So he waited and he said, well, wait until you guys are here and together we'll open it and we'll see what's inside. So as a 10-year-old boy, this is about the most exciting thing you could ever imagine, right? We're going to open up a bomb shelter. A bunker. We're going to open it and see what's inside. Very, very exciting moment. So we had to, chip away at the wall a little bit to expose the hinges of the door to the bunker. And there was a lock. There was a padlock. And we were able to remove the lock and get the door open. And when we opened the door, what was inside? The bunker that had not been opened for, I don't know how many years, maybe 20 or 30 years, maybe 40 years, I don't know. Not much. Not much of anything was inside. There were a few cans, I suppose, with some food in them. Some empty boxes. And nothing, really nothing else. There was really nothing else. So it wasn't very exciting, but the suspense of wondering what is in this bomb shelter. It was very exciting. Anyway, there you go. That's my bomb shelter story from Ottawa. But my father grew up in Ottawa, the capital of Canada, and he can remember going to school and having drills, you know, bomb drills or where they had air raid sirens. So the the siren, right? The siren. And so they had the sirens in the city. So if they were being bombed, the siren would go off. The siren would sound. And they had certain procedures, how to evacuate the buildings or, you know, get down on the floor under your desk and cover your head and all these procedures. So my father was, he was taught that. And he remembered in school having to practice these, having to rehearse and practice these drills. But luckily, he never had to use them, and they never had an air raid of any kind in Ottawa or in Canada, for that matter. But that's the reason why in Ottawa they had bomb shelters in a lot of the buildings. Anyway, the music tells us it's time for a quick break. All right, we're going to take a few minutes here. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to look at history. Moby Dick was published on this day in 1851. We'll have a look at that. And we've got, the story of the Apollo 12 lifting off on this day in 1969. So plenty to cover, everybody. We'll take a real quick break, but I'll be right back. Don't touch that dial.
Maugen Radio Madrid, 100.4 FM.
Si tú fueras yo, te sentirías muy sola. Te insultarían y te dejarían en ridículo. Si tú fueras yo, no tendrías ganas de salir al recreo y desearías ser invisible. Porque si tú fueras yo, sufrirías acoso escolar.
No te calles. Denuncia el acoso escolar. Comunidad de Madrid.
Y aquí en su currículo dice que es usted Susana de la Tormenta de la Casa Targaryen, primera de su nombre que no arde, reina de Merín, reina de los Ándalos y los primeros hombres, calici del gran mar de hierba, rompedora de cadenas...
Sí, y madre de dragones, con nivel alto de inglés. Ya no hace falta que exageres tu nivel de inglés. Con el método Vaughan es posible mejorar de verdad porque nuestros profesores te retan y acompañan para que obtengas los resultados que buscas. Apúntate ahora a nuestros cursos trimestrales y vive una nueva experiencia de aprendizaje con los profesores Vaughan. Apúntate ahora. Llama al 91-133-5833.
Esto es lo que pasa cuando te encuentras con tu profesora Vaughan al salir de la ducha.
La 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 la.
Hello there!
Ah, Julia, pero ¿qué haces aquí?
In English, Patri, ask me what I'm doing here.
What are you doing here?
Nothing. I just popped in to say hi.
Well, this is a bit weird.
Yeah, whatever. Are you ready for an English class?
Why not?
Cool. Ask me how often I have a shower.
How often do you have a shower?
I have a shower every day. Now ask me how often I brush my teeth.
How often do you brush your teeth?
I brush my teeth 3 times a day. Now ask me how often I comb my hair.
How often do you comb your hair?
Comb.
How often do you comb your hair?
Very good. I comb my hair 2 times a day. Ask me how often I get my nails done.
How often do you get your nails done?
I get my nails done 1 a month. Now ask me how often I use moisturizing lotion.
How often do you use moisturizing lotion?
Moisturizing.
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 Better. I use moisturizing lotion 1 a day. Now ask me how often I straighten my hair.
How often do you straighten
¿Te gustaría
your hair?
Hacer un curso en el que practiques inglés desde que te levantas hasta que te acuestas? Entonces te gustará hacer uno de nuestros cursos intensivos residenciales. Mucho más que un programa de clases de inglés. Aquí convives durante 5 días con tus profesores Vaughan. Si quieres que tu inglés dé un salto de calidad brutal en un tiempo récord, pregunta por nuestros intensivos residenciales en el 91-133-5833. También disponible en versión fin de semana. Infórmate en el 91-133-5833.
A ver, ¿qué pone aquí? Please select the first letter of your model number from the drop-down box, the begin search.
Uf. ¿El inglés se te hace cuesta arriba? Este año te ayudamos a subir la cuesta del inglés con nuestros cursos trimestrales. Clases 100% método Vaughan para todos los niveles que te darán el empujón que necesitas para vencer todas tus dificultades con el idioma. Más información en el 91-133-5833 o en grupovaughan.com.
We'll be right back.
participar a través de nuestra aplicación. Descárgatela.
Hi, friends. Welcome back. You're listening to the Drive Time Show here on Vaughn Radio. You can find us at 106.0 FM in Santander. Or maybe 96.0 in Zaragoza. And, of course, 100.4 FM here in Madrid. We're also on VaughnRadio.com. On your various smartphone applications, well, the smartphone application, which you can download for iPhone, for your Android devices, whatever type of smartphone you use, you can find us there. The app is simply called Vaughn Radio. You can also participate in questions shared through the app. So no reason not to listen to Vaughn Radio. Why don't we begin this half hour with a special interactive section? I'm talking about today's interrogative challenge.
Interrogative challenge.
Okay, I am going to give you the answer to a question. Actually, several questions, and you can ask me the question I've already answered. Yo la respuesta, tú la pregunta. Ah. Ooh, good one. Muy bien. Okay, all right, okay. Number one. I saw her in the parking lot. Where did you see her? Hey, where did you see her? I saw her in the parking lot. Number two. I read the newspaper when I get to work. What do you do when you get to work? Number three. I spent $100 on gasoline. How much money did you spend on gasoline? Hey, how much money did you spend on gasoline?
$100.
Number four. John Kennedy became president in 1960. When did John Kennedy become president? Number five. My brother's moving to Jakarta. Where is your brother moving? Or where is he moving to? He's moving to Jakarta. Yeah, it's true. It is true. He's moving to Jakarta, Indonesia. Number six. I came to Spain with a friend of mine. Who did you come to Spain with? Hey, who did you come to Spain with? I came with a friend of mine. Un amigo mío. We don't say a friend of me, right? It's a friend of mine. He's a friend of mine. I'm a friend of his. They're friends of ours. I came to Spain with a friend of mine. Number seven. He's from Toledo, Ohio. Where is he from? From. Notice I'm not saying Fran. Fran, no. From. Where's he from? Oh, he's from Toledo, Ohio. Toledo. We don't say Toledo. Toledo. We have an expression in English as well, which is Holy Toledo, which is like saying vaya. Wow, vaya, amigo. Holy Toledo. We also say holy smokes. Holy cow. Right? Number 8. He pays me once a month. How often does he pay you? How often? Hey, Tino, how often does he pay you? He pays me once a month. Una vez al mes. Una vez al mes. Once a month. Number 9. I lost my money in the casino. Where did you lose your money? Hey, where did you lose your money? Oh, I lost my money in the casino. In the casino, yeah. I lost my money in the casino. Number 10. Bronze is made from copper and tin. What is bronze made from? What's bronze made from? It's made from copper and tin. All right. Now, the preposition after to be made is important. To be made from. You could say bronze is made from copper and tin. Or it's made of, hecho de. So, it's made of, and then we have hecho, like made with. So like, oh, the Coca-Cola in the United States is made with high fructose corn syrup. Yeah, it's not made with cane sugar. Coca-Cola in Mexico is made with cane sugar. Coca-Cola in the United States and Canada is made with, hecho con, right? Made with high fructose corn syrup, right? And Coca-Cola in Europe is, as far as I know, it's made with sugar, but from beets, remolacha, beet sugar.
Azúcar,
that's right. And so it's made with, but it's made of many different ingredients. Made of this and this and this and this and this and this and this. But it's made with means it includes. So I could say, for example, this table is made of wood. It's made with a very particular kind of wood. It's made with five legs. It's made with a plastic top. But I wouldn't say it's made of plastic, hecho de, because plastic is just one of the many ingredients, and plastic is actually kind of a small percentage. Because I think it's made with wood inside and plastic on the outside. So it's made with wood and plastic. We could also say it's made with care. Con cariño. It's made with love. Right? So the preposition you use after the verb to make, to be made with, to be made of. You know, and made with real juice. You'll see that in, on drinks, for example. Made with real, like Fanta. Made with real juice. But it's 8%, I think. And the rest is all, you know, water and sugar and different artificial flavors. But it is made with real fruit. It just means it includes real fruit. But you'd be kidding yourself if you said, well, it was made of real fruit, because there's a lot more to it than that. Okay. Anyway, we're gonna move on, everybody. Let's have a look at today's paragraph of the day.
Paragraph of the day.
That's right. It's time for the paragraph of the day. Paragraph of the day, everybody. We have hundreds of these paragraphs. I'm going to read one, and we'll have a look at. We'll have a look at it. We'll go over it. We'll repasarlo. Okay. So I'm going to read the paragraph, and then we'll talk about some of the vocabulary, and we can discuss also the setting that this paragraph might appear in. Okay. So it goes like this. Oh no, excuse me. I'm picking a better one. Psychologists once believed that the motive that caused men to strive to attain high-level managerial positions was the need for achievement. But now they believe it's the need for power. Power seekers strive hard to reach positions where they can exercise authority over large numbers of people. Individual performers who lack this drive are not likely to advance far up the managerial ladder. This power game is part of management, and it's played best by those who enjoy it the most. That's the paragraph. So we have some vocabulary here. Drive. So drive is like motivation. It's kind of like motivation, but it's motivation and ambition. Drive. So yes, and then we have also to strive, which is like luchar. Los hombres que luchan por conseguir posiciones de alta dirección. Men who strive to attain high-level managerial positions. So psychologists once believed that the motive that caused men to strive to high-level managerial positions was the need for achievement. But now, they believe it's the need for power. Right? La necesidad de poder, the need for power. But now they believe it's the need for power. Power seekers strive. Los que buscan poder, pelean por. Yeah, they fight for, pelean por, luchan por. They strive for... They strive hard to reach positions where they can exercise authority over large numbers of people. Individual performers who lack this drive are not likely to advance far up the managerial ladder. Aquellos que carecen de esa motivación no tendrán posibilidades de trepar por la escalera de dirección. Well, they are less likely to advance far up the managerial ladder. The power game is part of management, and it's best played by those who enjoy it the most. El juego del poder forma parte de la dirección, y lo juegan mejor los que más lo disfrutan. Ooh. Those who enjoy it the most. I guess I agree with this. There is obviously this link between power and ambition. And it's not to say that it's right. I think that, you know, ambition is a bad word in Spain, really. But in Anglo-Saxon culture, saying, oh, he's ambitious is a very positive thing. You know, he's working hard to improve and to improve things for himself and for his family, and ambition is a positive thing. Whereas in Spain, it's obviously, oh, he's ambitious. He's never happy. He can't relax and be happy with what he has. He's always pushing for something else. And it's so stressful on everyone. And so that's a negative thing. And this is not to say that one is right or wrong. I don't know. I mean, people are just different, I think. And some people will push to achieve more. And some people will say, hey, you have to relax and be content with what you have. So anyway, but I guess there's room for everyone, and we have a lot of different types of people in the world, which is important. Anyway, why don't we push forward and see what happened on this day? I'm talking about the 14th of November, everybody, with a section called Today in History.
Today in History.
Everybody, you heard it. It's time for Today in History. Well, it was this day in 1851 that Moby Dick was published. Moby Dick, a novel by Herman Melville. Of course, about the voyage of the whaling boat, a whaling vessel. Whaling. So, now, whale, you know, the big animal. We can use it as a verb, to whale, like to hunt whale. Like we say fishing, a fishing boat. Well, a whaling boat. It was published by Harper and Brothers in New York, and Moby Dick is now considered a great classic of American literature. And it contains one of the most famous opening lines in fiction, "Call me Ishmael." Initially, though, the book about Captain Ahab and his quest for a giant whale was a failure. Originally, it was a failure. It was a flop. Now, Herman Melville was born in New York City in 1819, and as a young man spent time in the Merchant Marines in the U.S. Navy and on a whaling ship in the South Seas. In 1846, he published his first novel, Typee. It was a romantic adventure based on his experiences in Polynesia. And the book was a success, and there was a sequel that was published as well a few years later. Three more novels followed with mixed critical and commercial results. But it was his sixth book, Moby Dick. It would come a few years later. And Melville had promised his publisher an adventure story, similar to his popular early works, but instead, Moby Dick was a tragic story, influenced in part by his friend and neighbor in Massachusetts, Nathaniel Hawthorne, whose novels include The Scarlet Letter. So Moby Dick had really a disappointing reception. A disappointing reception. So it wasn't received very well. It was criticized. But Melville continued to produce novels, stories, and poetry. But he wasn't able to pay his bills. He wasn't able to, the expression, make ends meet. You gotta fin de mes. He couldn't do it. So he went back to New York to work as a customs inspector, where he held a job there for 20 years. And he died. In 1891, he died. Primarily forgotten in the literary world. And by the 1920s, readers and scholars had sort of rediscovered his work, especially Moby Dick, a book that would eventually become a staple. There, we'll call it a staple. It means a regular, one of the pillars, one of the foundation books of high school reading across the United States. And he had another novel that was published in 1924, 33 years after his death, called Billy Budd. So basically, he had a novel that he had written, but he wasn't famous enough to even really get it published, or the publishing wasn't even justified. So Billy Budd didn't come out until he was dead in 1933. Let's jump forward to 1969. Okay, we have the second manned mission to the surface of the moon, launched from Cape Canaveral, Florida. The astronauts on board were Charles Conrad, Richard Gordon, and Alan Bean. Now, President Nixon saw the liftoff from the pad, from the launch pad, Pad A, in Cape Canaveral, Florida. And he was the first president to attend the liftoff. The liftoff, right when the rocket takes off, of a manned space flight. 36 seconds after takeoff, lightning struck the Saturn V launch rocket, causing the circuit breakers in the command module, tripping the breakers, rather, and causing a power failure. But the launching rocket continued up normally, and within a few minutes, power was restored in the spacecraft. So we say to trip the circuit breaker. So you have to trip. Interesting to trip. So you have in your house, you have a circuit breaker. You have a switchboard with the circuits there, and like you have the fuses. We used to have the old fuse box, and to blow a fuse. So when too much power goes through, it blows, and you have to change the fuse. But now it's a switch panel. Anyway, it tripped it, T-R-I-P, to trip. It tripped the circuit breaker. But power was restored. Anyway, on November 19th, the landing module Intrepid made a very precise landing on the northwest rim of the moon's Ocean of Storms. So they've named these parts of the moon. And about 5 hours later, the astronauts Conrad and Bean became the third and fourth humans to walk on the surface of the moon. Over the next 32 hours, the two astronauts made two lunar walks where they collected lunar samples and investigated the Surveyor spacecraft, an unmanned U.S. probe that had landed on the moon in 1967. So they were able to go and take a look at the probe and say, hey, let's check it out. Let's see the Surveyor 3 spacecraft, which was sitting there, and they were able to look at it. It was November 24th when Apollo 12 successfully returned to Earth, splashing down only 3 miles from one of its retrieval ships, the USS Hornet. So this is a mission, you know, the second mission to the moon, where everybody knows Neil Armstrong. Everybody knows Neil Armstrong, right? The first man to walk on the moon. Everybody knows Buzz Aldrin because he was there too and he walked on the moon, the second man on the moon. Okay, not as famous as Neil Armstrong. But not everybody knows these people. But yeah, Charles Conrad, Richard Gordon, and Alan Bean. And it was, yeah, Conrad and Bean who were the third and fourth humans to walk on the surface of the moon. Yeah, one of the advertisements. Sometimes I do some voice work for advertisements and things like that occasionally. And one of the projects I recently worked on was a commercial for, commercial for Vodafone. In fact, where they had the guy landing on the moon, and it's funny how some of these projects work because they have an international advertisement. And then if they want to sell the same advertisement in different countries, they have to get the rights for the voices and the rights, los derechos de autor, for the rights for the people who lend creatively to the project. So they had some issue with some of the voices of NASA. So they had the voice of Alan Bean in the ad. And you might remember this ad from about a year ago, a Vodafone commercial on television, where they had Alan Bean on it, and he's speaking and he's talking about the experience of landing on the moon, and then they recreate it with what was, well, supposed to be the original audio, but they couldn't use, for whatever reason, they couldn't use the audio from NASA. So I recreated the voice of the NASA command center, and that was kind of an interesting and fun project. You know, we're touching down. Kind of interesting, to be involved in some of those projects. But yeah, that was the one featuring Alan Bean, who was the third man to walk on the moon. The fourth man to walk on the moon. Also on this day, it was 1996 when Michael Jackson would marry Debbie Rowe in Sydney, Australia. The couple had met when he was diagnosed with a skin disorder in the mid-1980s, and she was working at his dermatologist's assistant. The couple divorced in 1999. So they got married in 96 and divorced in 99. So they lasted about 3 years, about a month short of 3 years, and Roe was given full custody rights of the children Sorry, Roe gave full rights to Jackson. And Roe received $8 million. So basically, Michael Jackson wanted kids, right? And he says, hey, let's have some kids. I'll give you $8 million. We have some kids. And what a family, hey? Imagine your family, your dad just pays $8 million to the mother. And you have these kids, and then I'm gonna keep them. Well, it's kind of a crazy, a lot of odd stuff in the life of Michael Jackson. But anyway, apparently they did have a loving relationship though as well. A relationship built around maybe respect more than conventional love, let's say. But anyway, it was on this day in 1996 that Michael Jackson and Debbie Rowe were married. We're going to take a short break because it is that time. We have to take a short break. When we come back, we're going to get into the music, and we're going to talk a bit more about Michael Jackson after this very short break. We also have to have a look at the responses to the Twitter translation and much more. So whatever you do, don't touch that dial.
Baugan Radio Madrid, 100.4 FM.
Si tú fueras yo, te sentirías muy solo. Odiarías las redes sociales y solo pensarías en desconectar. Si tú fueras yo, escogerías un camino diferente cada día para ir al instituto. Porque si tú fueras yo, sufrirías acoso escolar.
No te calles, denuncia el acoso escolar. Comunidad de Madrid.
Sin prisa pero sin pausa. This is the Spanish expression that I use when people ask me what they should do with their children concerning English. Sin prisa pero sin pausa. The target date for English mastery is age 23. Children and adolescents don't need English, really, until they reach adulthood, until they finish their studies and start looking for their first job. This is usually at the age of 23. If they don't know English well at this point, they are in trouble. They have a problem, an important problem. If they don't know English well at the age of 23, when they enter the labor market, they will probably never reach a decent level, a good working level of English. So, as a mother or father, you need to make sure that your children gain a good command of English by the age of 23 at the latest. This means that when the child is born, you have 23 years to solve the problem. Are you capable of solving a problem if you have a 23-year window to solve it? I hope so. Here in Vaughn Systems, we provide kids, children, with dynamic verbal access to English starting at the age of 4. We expose the children to the native sound of the language, and we work especially hard to promote effective listening comprehension and to make the language fun and attractive for the children. Entrust your children to us, little by little, slowly but surely, sin prisa pero sin pausa. We will transform them into bilingual adolescents and prepare them for age 23. Contact Vaughan Jr.
Más información sobre la línea Junior de Vaughan Systems en el teléfono 91-133-5832. 91-133-5832.
Ahora tú también puedes irte a vivir a Vaughan.
Sí, sí. Durante toda una semana puedes convivir con tus profesores Vaughan.
¿Cómo? Haciendo una inmersión en los cursos residenciales de Vaughan.
Nuestros cursos intensivos residenciales son una experiencia de inmersión lingüística intensa,
con la que conseguirás que tu inglés mejore mucho en muy poco tiempo.
Garantizado.
Cursos intensivos residenciales de Vaughan.
Llama ya al 91-133-5833
o infórmate en grupovaughan.com.
Tres meses y luego, ¡pum! ¡Ya está! ¡Qué fácil!
Apúntate a nuestros cursos trimestrales. En solo tres meses perfeccionarás tu inglés. Cursos trimestrales de Vaughan. Infórmate ya en el 91-133-5833 o en grupovaughan.com.
Every company needs a very special plan to develop the human resources, the important people for the future. If some of these important people don't